Man, you'd all please have a seat.
Good morning. You can open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. It is great to be together. As has been mentioned, happy Easter. We really celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every Sunday, but certainly this Sunday, as we can sort of nail down the time frame, and as the eyes of the world are thinking about it, we sort of extra celebrate today. I do want to say it's great to have lots of kids in here today. We got kids in here. You guys are great. If you're a guest, normally we have children's classes during our service, and we've got a whole bunch of people that volunteer about 3 or 4 month intervals to teach our classes, and this is a rotation change, so we've got all our kids with us. And I also want to say, if you have been teaching these past few months, stand up for just a minute, let us acknowledge you. Stand up, those of you who've been teaching. All right, thank you so much. Next Sunday, the new rotation starts, so we've got a new bunch of teachers, and you'll be able to take your children like normal and sign them in the cafeteria next Sunday, and we'll start again. I heard there was a really fantastic Easter egg hunt yesterday, and I want to thank Ken and his lovely wife assistant and all of you who helped with that, and it is just a great time to be together. And I do want to mention, if you still have a newsletter, can I encourage the church for a minute? It's real quiet. You know, if you're our guest, we've been talking here for the first part of this year about really being more consistent in our giving to God, particularly financially. And I really want to encourage you, because 2 weeks ago we had our community worship services. They were great. We had about 45 groups, I guess, that met throughout our metropolitan area. We weren't able to collect our contribution because of that. So if you notice, our offering for the 18th was $12,000, because that's what we give, those of us who give electronically. Look what you did last week. You see that? $38,000. We more than made up for the week before. And we haven't done that in a while. So I just definitely want to say thank you, encourage you, and good job, church. Amen. Let me read this passage that we're familiar with, this story that happened so many centuries ago. We've heard about it. We've sung about it. The kids were great singing, as well as Mark, certainly, in our worship team. But Luke records, and Luke chapter 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." That's what we celebrate today. He has risen. And Mary Lou and I spent this past week in Los Angeles with our son Brian and his family. We were there while his kids had spring break. They're not little kids. They're 19, 16, and 13. But let me tell you about some of the other things that I got to do this past few days in Los Angeles. All right? I got to play golf. Never played golf before. But I shot a 70, not on 9 holes, 18 holes. Some of you don't know much about golf. You don't think I did that? No. Okay, I know. It's April Fool's also. I didn't do that. But I did go skydiving. With no parachute. One of those suits you wear, a sky suit or something, you just float out. You don't believe that either, do you? Yeah, I'm on my April Fool roll. Well, okay, this one. I got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Because I had the lead in the junior play in high school. And they finally acknowledged it. You got that? Ah, April Fool. I don't know. You don't believe this stuff. Okay, let me ask you this. Oh, one more thing. Coming home, our plane was delayed and then we had some trouble, so they called for my help and I had to land it in the Hudson. I mean, that's happened, you know. Okay, all right, I'm done with April Fool. Why don't you believe those things? Yeah, it's crazy. Why don't you believe those? Why don't you believe those things about me, Ricardo? I don't know. Ray started shaking his head right away when I started talking about that golf score, because Ray is a golfer. You don't have to really verbalize why you don't believe those things about me, because I know you don't want to be insulting and offend me. Those things are ridiculous. They're totally outside anything you know about me. As we think about this day, our faith is based really fundamentally on something completely outside our experience. That somebody who was dead came back to life. Not to die again. Well, look at 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to read several things here. He is not here, he is risen, is very profound. Because it goes against everything we know about the finality of death. It is significant to what we believe. We'll read this passage in a minute, but Paul said to the church in Rome that the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead proved that Jesus was the Son of God. He made a lot of claims as he lived, that he was the Son of God. He backed up those claims by some miracles that he was able to do. But even as he said that he would die for our sins, it really is only verified by the fact that he did live again. But that is something, look, isn't that really, honestly, kind of hard to believe in some respects? That somebody was dead and lived again? That's not how it works. But it's so fundamental. In 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read about half this chapter so you can follow along in your Bible or on the screen. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth and he says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel." What does gospel mean, church? Good news. Let me remind you of the good news. The gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you're saved, if you hold firmly to the words I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. And now Paul's going to really summarize the gospel message, beginning in verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born, for I'm the least of the apostles. Do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. You know, some people are saying there will be no resurrection of followers of Jesus in the last day, and Paul's making the point, look, if that isn't going to happen, then Jesus didn't get raised. And if he didn't get raised, he says what we believe is useless. Verse 15, more than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised him from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Paul says this is really fundamental to what we believe. Not only that Jesus died for our sins, and as Kyrie reminded us, took taking our place, but there were three men on three crosses that day. Jesus was the one claiming to be the Son of God and to be the payment for our sins. But the empty tomb says, yes, that's true. Yes, he was the Son of God. Yes, he did take our sins. And it is fundamental. It takes faith, certainly. But is it just the bizarre kind of faith? You know, when we were in L.A., you may have seen it because it was the national news last Saturday. A man launched himself on a homemade rocket in the Mojave Desert. Some of you saw that. You can go on YouTube. I tried to send it to him, but I'm not very technologically astute. He sent himself up about 1,900 feet because he believes that the earth is flat. And so he thought if he could get high enough up, he could see. He said, this may kill me. It didn't. He was sore the next day. But we say, how could you believe the earth is flat? That's, I mean, you can get in a spaceship and go around it. That's nuts. Is believing that a man came back from the dead the same? I don't think so. Even though it takes faith, because here's the thing. By the way, that man's name was Mad Mike Hughes. I hope he's not related to you. No. Amen, Tom. I don't think his mother named him Mad Mike. I think somebody else named him the mad part. We believe that Jesus was raised from the dead because of this, but more specifically, because of this, men saying, we saw it. The very first message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, when he said to them, he was the Son of God, and you killed him, and God raised him to life. Peter says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. This is what the New Testament claims to be. Matthew, Mark, John, probably not Luke, but in interviewing people who were there, people saying, I saw it. I saw him alive. You know, we believe a lot of things because of the testimony of witnesses, right? If you don't believe anything except what you experience firsthand, your world is real limited. We believe a lot of things because of what other people say, right? We read a minute ago where Paul talks about the resurrection, and he mentions that fact again. We were witnesses. He makes that point. I wasn't there, but I saw him alive later. I'm a witness. Now, here's the thing. Okay, and there's a valid point. Do witnesses ever lie? It's called perjury if you're in court, isn't it? You can get in trouble for it. You have to decide, can we believe the witnesses? Can we believe Matthew, Mark, John, Paul? In fact, you notice Paul said one time Jesus appeared to 500 people at the same time. Can we believe them? I want you to think with me for a minute, just kind of some logic and common sense. I understand it takes faith, and our faith is in the Bible, but I do believe God wants us to use our brains. And here's what I also know. We are bombarded by pseudo-sophisticated intellectual nonsense that makes faith seem stupid. Even a lot of so-called Christians don't necessarily really believe that Jesus came back to life. I mean, so what's Christianity then? We live in this world that's got some kind of scientific explanation for everything, or at least we think there is. When you stop and look, you get sick and you go to the doctor and he says, I don't know, then you realize there's not. But when you think about this, we believe because these men said they saw it and they wrote it down. For us all these centuries later to believe, okay, are they credible witnesses? You know why witnesses lie? You know why people lie in general? I mean, there are a lot of reasons, but they kind of come down to some common things. People lie often to get themselves power, get themselves out of trouble. We'll get to that one in a minute. We got a principal here. He knows why people lie. People lie to get themselves something. Fame, power, money, position. People lie to stay out of trouble. If these men were lying, did it get them any of those things? Well, it got them trouble. We'll talk about that in a minute. For what purpose would they lie about this? It's not logical to me, because it didn't bring them the kinds of things that lying usually gets you. Now, again, sometimes we are tempted to lie to get us out of trouble. If this was a lie, it caused them unbelievable trouble. Most of them died for it. All of them, we think, except John. And he lived the last years of his life probably as a prisoner. Do you die for something you make up? You know, I don't really want to talk about the news and politics because that's a hot button subject. So let me go back about 45 years. And talk about some politics. When a man was president named Richard Nixon, some of you, he's just a historical figure, some of us. The only home video we have live of a president is Richard Nixon. Well, there you go. The only one to resign and disgrace, in case you've forgotten your history. You know, there were some things that happened that were not good, and there was a cover-up that was not good, and more pressure got on a lot of people, and some people began to realize somebody is going to jail because of all this stuff. Somebody is going to jail. And some people did go to jail. But before it got that far, when this intense pressure got on that somebody's going to jail, guess what happened? Somebody started talking. Specifically, a man named John Dean, who was a lawyer. It's interesting because he's a commentator now, 45 years later, on some of the talking news programs. What do you think about it, Mr. Dean? John Dean knew a lot of stuff that had happened that was illegal. And he made a deal. He said, excuse me, I'll tell you what I know if you don't put me in jail. And the whole thing started unraveling. Mr. History Teacher, that's kind of a sketchy. Sounds good? All right. I'm not making this stuff up. Some of us remember it. Okay, what am I saying? That's human nature. That's human nature. These guys couldn't get in the room and say, let's make this story up. Somebody, you know, they died for it. Somebody would have said at some point, whoa, 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 stop. Stop, stop, stop. We made it up. You know, there's another aspect of this. Do people die for crazy causes that they really believe in? Absolutely. Absolutely. People give their lives for things that we would think were ludicrous, but they believe it. They believe in them. It's hard for me, though, to imagine that these men made up this story and then convinced themselves so much that it was true that one by one they died. Or, you know, not only that, you know, there's some good stuff in the Bible written down by these men. Matthew, Mark, John. Mark probably narrated by Peter, John, Luke. You know, if they were nuts, crazy, how'd they write such good stuff? You follow what I'm saying? What am I saying? I'm saying, look, it takes some faith to believe in the resurrection. It does. It's faith. I do not think it's ridiculous faith. I don't even want to say it takes faith to believe the world is flat. It takes craziness. But he really believes it. If you and I really believe the resurrection, are we believing something in spite of so much evidence? I don't think so. I think we're believing something on the testimony of some men who said, I saw it. And I am dying for it. And you can trust me and you can believe it. There's a whole other part of this about where he says 500 people saw him at the same time. You know, this stuff, they wrote these stories. Some of them were written down a little later, but still in the lifetime of people that happened. You know, here's the thing. It's hard to perpetrate a lie when there are a lot of people around who can indicate that it's not a lie. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, if you look, if I tell you something that happened 300 years ago, you don't know whether I'm telling you the truth or not. If I tell you something that happened 30 years ago that you don't believe very easily, you can probably find some people around then who could tell you one way or the other. You follow what I'm saying? Think. It happened. It happened. He did come back to life. The angel said he is risen. And Paul says, you know, Peter saw him and all these guys saw him. I trust them because of their lives. And you know, really, when you think about it, if you're a Christian and have been a Christian for a while and are really trying to be serious about it, the resurrection has changed our lives. It changed their lives. It's changed our lives. Mary Lou and I were 3 weeks ago now, spent a few days in Orlando, Florida, not on vacation, in a bunch of meetings, but really great meetings about our fellowship of churches and trying to figure out how to continue to grow and reach people and work together and a lot of things that were very, very inspiring and encouraging. And I'll be able to share more about those things with you soon. But, you know, one of the speakers talked about what should we be known for? What should we be known for as a fellowship? You know, Jesus said in John 13, we'll be known as disciples. How? By our love. I think that's a good thing to be known for. Yes, we want to be known for doctrine and really trying to follow the New Testament and a lot of things, but by our love. And the speaker took a little, continued that to another place and saying, you know, really, in our culture today in America, particularly, we can be known for being a church of all nations. Isn't that true? If you're visiting, look around. What kind of church are we? We're a church of all nations because Jesus has changed us and allowed us to not just know, but know and love people that we wouldn't have before. We're certainly trying to grow in that. We had a man come last month to talk to us about diversity, and a lot of us want to encourage you to look in the newsletter. We'll go down to Central Jersey next week. We're forming a diversity committee to help us know how to love each other more. But it's saying we've been changed. We're different from the world. And even more in our personal lives. Look at one more passage in 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Thank you. Paul is dealing with some serious issues in the church in Corinth and some things that people were saying they were Christians but living in some ways that denied the lordship of Jesus. And Paul says something really strong down in chapter 6 in verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards and slanderers or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty strong statement he makes here. But look at verse 11. That is what some of you, what's the word? Were. You know, some of these things professional people are saying nowadays are who you are and they can't change. That's not what the Bible says. Paul says some of you were. You know, we are a room full of people who have been changed by the resurrection of Jesus. I won't do this. We could go through this list again, and when I came to what you were, raise your hand. All right, we won't do that, but we could, couldn't we? Because we've been changed. The resurrection is a real fact that Peter and John and the others said over and over again. A key element of New Testament preaching about the cross and the resurrection was, we are witnesses. You know, they had to go to tell this story that was preposterous. They went and told a story about the man being the Son of God and dying for sins, being crucified, and then coming back to life. And a key part of that was they're saying, I saw it. I saw it. I saw it. And they were believable because of how they lived and how they died. So our faith is not based on some irrational, illogical, outlandish concept. It's based on an almost unbelievable concept, except for people who saw it. But not only that, the resurrection makes a difference in our life. The power of Jesus allows us to become just simply who we are not. And that certainly is a process sometimes of growing and learning and changing. But the risen Christ changes our lives. So what are we saying today? The angel's message, as they got to that empty tomb, was basically, what are you doing here? You know, he'd said he was going to rise again. They just didn't. Why didn't they get it? Because it's a hard thing to get in terms of our experience. And then they saw him alive. And they lived the rest of their lives telling people about that. And they went to their deaths proclaiming it. Jesus is Lord and Jesus is risen. And it is just more illogical for me to believe they made it up than to believe that it happened. Because that's just not human nature. There was no John Dean. There was no, whoa, let me tell you what really happened. There was no craziness in how they live, if you know what I mean. But even for us today, we see in this room the power of the resurrection. And life after life after life, you know, we've been in the process of filming some brief testimonies, and I hope we'll be able to start showing them, because everybody in here who's a Christian has a story. And some may seem more dramatic than others and some more radical than others, but for every one of us, there is a story of the power of the resurrection. And so today we celebrate. He is risen. Amen.